You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I think one of the things that's a real challenge for us all in a situation like this is we can fall into the trap of thinking that no other generation has ever faced something like we're facing. You listen to some people in the shops, the way they talk. I heard somebody recently in a shop say, "I have never seen the shelves like this in all of my life." And it can feel so big in our own mind. And that sense that we're the only generation that have ever done this can at times make us feel just a little bit isolated. And that's a real danger. And so I want to encourage every single one of you out there, stay connected. Work hard to stay connected. Don't feel like you're on your own. And Audacious Church people, part of this faith community, thousands of us, if you're walking through something on your own, if you're feeling isolated, you're feeling this challenge, don't feel like you've got to grin and bear it. Talk to someone. Join the online groups, be a part of the community. And together through doing this more and more, we'll be able to keep communication strong, keep interaction strong, and good Christian word, keep our fellowship, the ship of fellows and gals, really strong in Jesus' name. But the reality is this, is we are not the only generation to have faced situations like this. Every generation faces something in some unusual way, and yet the similarities and connections are really real. C.S. Lewis, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Many of you would have seen the films or read the books. Of course, he was a great Christian man. 72 years ago, I want to read to you an extract he wrote in Living in the Atomic Age. And every time I mention the word atomic bomb or atomic age, I want you to kind of take that word out and put in the word coronavirus. And I want you to see how similar we are living through 72 years later, what they lived through 72 years ago in the atomic age. And it's really relevant and pertinent to every single one of us. Lots of principles I think we can pick up. Let me read this to you. He says, "In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb or the coronavirus. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, why? As you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and attack you any night. Or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation." Think about it right now, the shelves, the challenges with healthcare, etc., the isolation. Let me read it again. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. I don't like that bit. When we had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, and that is anesthetics. We still have that. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces. Let me read that again. It's perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces. Let me read that again while you're listening in your pajamas over there. It's perfectly ridiculous to go on about whimpering and drawing long faces that the kids are going to be at home for X amount of months and we can't get pasta in the shops and there's no toilet paper on the shelves. The first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, because he was posh, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs that may break our bodies. And then he says this, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. I think, wow, isn't that amazing to think 72 years ago that generation were facing that. And here we are kind of facing something that none of us expected, none of us really knew was coming, although if we've been watching the news for a little while, maybe we would have thought it is. But what I want to do for this session and for the next three Sundays is I want to take you on a three-part journey in these messages that are going to be both theological and very practical. Because I'm super conscious that my words you'll forget, but it's the living word of God that will live forever. And so wherever you are, the guys here in the room right now, the girls have already got their journals ready to go. Can I encourage you, take out your iPhone, take out your journal, take a few notes, and the verses will be coming up on screen as well for you to kind of read along and to write these things in your notes on this journey. Let me give you the passage for the next three Sundays. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. And it says this, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as we do now, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. Have you watched the news? You've been puzzled in any way? I think it's speaking the same language 2,000 years later to us. But then one day we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows us completely. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I'm going to give you the takeaway already, even before we get into this for the next 15 or 20 minutes. And the takeaway for today and the next three Sundays is simply this. Faith is our way. Hope is our mindset, and love is our action. Let me say it again. Faith is our way, hope is our mindset, and love is our action. Let me take a moment to pray for the word right now. Father, we want to thank you for this moment. Lord, I pray for every single person tuning into this broadcast right now, wherever they are. Lord, I want to thank you that your presence is strong with all of us. Lord, for people watching who don't yet know you, God, I pray that you continue to work on their hearts. Make them aware of your greatness and your great love for them, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And church, even though we can't be with you there in body, we're there with you in mind, in that we're thinking about you, and we're definitely there with you in spirit. We're praying for you. So here's the first lesson from this passage, and it's simply this, faith is our way. Faith is our way. And you may know this already, but faith is integral. Faith is so important for a Christian believer. And the thing I've discovered about faith is this, is that faith always lives in the same zone as fear. It's almost like you don't really know you have faith until fear is knocking on the door. They make very strange bedfellows, but they live in the same environment. The difference between fear and faith is really simple. Fear restricts you. Fear will keep you small. But faith lifts you up. Faith enlarges you. Fear discourages and disappoints. But faith puts something in your spirit, in your mind. It gives you a resolve and a sense of we can get through this and we can do anything. And church, I want you to know that the church community, followers of Jesus Christ, we live in a dimension of faith. Yeah. I need faith. You need faith. Yeah. Right now, you and I, we have natural faith. The chair that you're sitting in, or lucky you, the bed that you're lying in, you have natural faith that the chair, the stool, the bed is not going to give way under your weight. That's natural faith. And then we have saving faith. Saving faith is that faith that God put in you that when you didn't believe in him, all of a sudden one day you recognized, I need God in my life. And you responded to the wonder of Jesus and became a follower of Jesus. We call that a Christian. But the third faith is this faith to live our lives, faith that is our way. And I want to share a little bit about it, but Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So I'm going to tell you about faith by telling you today what faith is not. Faith is not, firstly, a procrastinator. To put off to tomorrow that which needs to be done today. And we just read it here in Hebrews 11. It says, now faith. And I think theologically and practically, that is such an important lesson for us right now in this unusual situation that this generation finds itself in. Faith is for now. In other words, it's not for tomorrow. It's for now. Faith is not for a future moment. Faith is for the current reality of the situation that you find yourself in. In fact, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Why is he saying that? It's because faith is not for tomorrow. Faith is for now. And when you have faith, it dispels worry and anxiety. So number one, everyone say number one. Faith is not a procrastinator. Number two, faith is not blind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, don't get so focused on what you see with your natural eye in the shops, with the schools, on the news, with social media, that you lose sight of what God is up to. Last Sunday in our online service, when we were still running church in the auditorium, I said this, that when my son was very young, when the house got quiet, my wife and I would look at each other and say, Jaden's up to mischief, because it was just too quiet. I tell you what faith says with God, that when you can't see God or hear God, his silence means he's up to good. And I think it's so important in this situation to realize that faith is not blind. We're aware of the situation, but we're trusting in God. Thirdly, faith is not a leap in the dark. It's not a leap in the dark. It's actually hearing God speak, responding to his voice, faith increasing on the inside, and then we're stepping out in his ways. The fourth thing faith is not is that faith is not belief without evidence. Let me say it again. Faith is not belief without evidence. The great atheist, Richard Dawkins, he once said this. He said, faith is a great cop-out. The great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is belief in spite of even perhaps because of a lack of evidence. Now, I hear what he's saying, but he doesn't know the Bible. That's right. Yeah. The word for faith in the Bible is the word pistis, and it literally means to be convinced by an argument, to be convinced by evidence. Now, even though those of us in this room or those of you watching may not know a lot about science, one thing that has truly convinced you and I of God's existence, that God is up to something, is simply this. Look at our lives. I mean, you remember what you were like before God invaded your world. You remember what you're up to. I'm looking at a room of faces right now, and every single one of them in here, yourselves included, have got a story of what God did. I mean, where would we be without God? For many of you, your marriages have been saved because of God. For many of you, you've been healed in your body, in your mind, your soul, because of God. For many of you, your physical disposition has changed because of God. And in the New Testament, we've got that fantastic story, don't we, of Jesus healing a man on the Sabbath. And the religious people, who can often be annoying, they said to this man, they were trying to trap him, saying that Jesus was a sinner. And this man replies, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. In other words, don't get me confused with the theology and the science of this conversation. One thing I do know, he says, I was blind, but now I can see. And I think it's so important to know that. Fifthly, about faith. Faith is not stress-free. Faith is not stress-free. So natural faith, I'm sitting on a stool, you're lying in bed, you're sitting on the couch. Natural faith means that when you sit down, all of a sudden, the thing that you are sitting on, it takes stress. And it's true in all of our lives as well. We have this moment in Matthew chapter 9 where it says this, all things are possible for those of us who believe. The father of the child cried out and said, I do believe, help me to overcome my unbelief. Yeah. And you really do feel the stress of the moment. He's lost a child to sickness and he wants to believe. And it's this tension, this stress point of I want to believe, but it's challenging. Yeah. I want to believe that God's going to come through during this coronavirus. But gosh, look at what's taking place in our world. Faith was never meant to be stress-free. Why? Because it lives in the same dimension as fear. Fear and faith. They're kind of walking in a similar journey with each other, which is why faith is not stress-free. But here's the thing. If you only believe God 51%, then he can work with that. I think that even in areas of our faith where we have elements of doubt, I think God can still work with the size of faith we do have, because the Bible says even faith the size of a mustard seed. And so I want to encourage every single one of you. That's all you need. Faith that big. Just enough faith every single day. So what is faith then? We've said a lot about what it's not. We've shared a little bit about what it is. But let me get into a little bit more practical detail on how you can see faith rise in your world in this season during home isolation or whatever you're facing right now. And it's James chapter 4, it says this. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city. And let's face it, we were doing that a week ago. We were planning holidays. We were planning trips. We were planning to visit. You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city. Spend a year there. Carry on business and make money. Wow, even that's changed, hasn't it? Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, Christian people, what you should say is this. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this and we will do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now, let me give you some practical aspects of faith from this passage. The first thing is this, I want to encourage you with faith to use your ears. I think we build our faith by using our ears. This is what he says here in the Bible in verse 13 of James chapter 4, says, now listen. And I've discovered that events make us sit up and take notice. So my mum would tell me 100 different times, don't throw the ball in the house. And you know, she's like, Glenn, don't throw the ball, don't throw the ball. And then there would come a moment where the ball would hit a wall, a mirror would fall down, a clock would fall down or something like that. And now that that event had taken place, she would sit me down and say, now, listen. And I think moments like what we're seeing right now with the coronavirus, you know, is really a wake-up moment for every single one of us. It's making every single one of us evaluate the way we live our lives. But the real important thing in this time and season is to make a choice who you will listen to, what you will listen to. The news is helpful, but sometimes we just got to turn it off. I think we should fill our houses with the sound of worship. I think we should fill our houses with the sound of God's voice, because what we listen to is so important in building our faith. In 1 Samuel 3:10, Samuel says this, speak God, your servant is listening. And I want you to know that right now where you are, with whatever challenge you're facing, with whatever situation you're in right now, take a moment when we finish the online broadcast and say this to God, God, speak, for I'm listening. Because there is nothing like hearing God's voice to build faith, and in building faith, push out fear that may be existing in our lives in Jesus' name. The second way we build faith is this, is we gotta use our eyes. Use our eyes. Because it says here in verse 13, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make lots of money. You see, they were using their eyes in this story, but they had a vision for self. They had a vision for what they wanted to do, what they wanted to accomplish. But I think it's really important, Audacious Church, to understand this, to see what God sees is to accomplish what He plans. And I think in the midst of so much that we're seeing in social media and in the news and in current everyday life right now, not only should we be listening to His voice, but say, God, God, help me to see what You see. I mean, way back in the beginning, the angels saw a void, but God saw creation. I think when you get into the story of the Israelites in the book of Exodus, Moses saw slavery, but God saw freedom. You look at the story of a great man called Gideon. Gideon saw thousands in the enemy, but God saw victory. David saw within himself a betrayer, an adulterer, but God saw a man after His own heart. I think as we go through every single character in the Bible, what people saw with their mind's eye versus what God saw is very different. I want to encourage you, learn to see what God sees in this season. And I promise you, faith will rise in the midst of this. You can get faith to overcome in your finances. You can get faith in the employment sector. You can get faith for healing. You can get faith for relationships. My prayer, our prayer collectively as a church is this, is that we will see God do amazing things because we're choosing to see what God sees. Can I encourage as well practically? I think it's important for us to use our head. Use our head. I think it was C.S. Lewis earlier. He said this. He said, the most important thing for us to do is just get ourselves together. Yeah. A little bit of perspective in the moment. That it's unique for us, but it's not unique for every generation. Every generation faces something. Verse 14 says this, "Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." I think if we're using our ears and we're using our eyes, that in term affects what we think in our mind. And the Bible's real. It says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. But I want you to see that today I've put this in the third practice of building faith. That firstly, it's about what we're listening to. Secondly, what are we seeing? I think if you're hearing God, you're seeing what God is seeing, then what you get the opportunity to do is think in a different way. You begin to think in a different way. Anxiety, fear subsides and faith increases. The fourth practice for faith and building faith in your world right now is this, is it's really important, church, to use your mouth. And we read this. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so in actual fact, our heart and our mouth go hand in hand. Faith and our words go hand in hand. And I really want to encourage you, and I feel the pain that many of you are in right now. Just early this morning, I was on a video conference call with many, many different pastors from around the place, and feeling the pain and the hardship of some of those pastors sharing some of the difficulties that people in their communities are facing. What can we do? And I think sometimes that in the midst of a crisis, a pandemic, our words cause our faith to fall to the ground. Our words are prophetic. I want to encourage you, speak life over your house. Speak health over your house. Speak breakthrough over your finances. We're still aware of the challenge. We're not close to it, but we're speaking faith into the situation. Fathers, speak faith into your household. Mothers, speak faith into your children. Children, clean your room in faith and don't complain in Jesus' name. And the last thing is this, in terms of practice, is use your life. Use your life. Use every part of your life. It says this, if anyone then who knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. In other words, faith is doing. So I want to encourage you right where you are. If you're in self-isolation, you're not going to work maybe, wondering what to do with the kids. Now's a great opportunity for sure. Just watch a Netflix show, do those sorts of things. But don't sit in front of Netflix. Use your life. How can your life become a blessing? Some of you out there in the Audacious Church world have never met your neighbours. And even though it's a difficult time to go and knock on the door, you don't want to go making them scones or anything like that. Maybe that human contact and interaction, but little notes pass through the door, little things saying, hey, standing with you, you know. Setting up Facebook, WhatsApp groups for your local community to say, hey, listen, if anyone's alone, feeling isolated, then I'll come and stand on the footpath and talk through your window at you. But you know, I think with the opportunities we have right now is immense for the gospel, for the church to truly be what the church should be, light in the darkness of this pandemic. You're not alone. I want you to know right now, God's with you. I want you to know right now, the church of God is standing with you. And we have a beautiful, wonderful opportunity right now to join together in faith and believe that what the devil meant for harm, come on, church, God will turn around for His glory. That's what we believe in.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.